Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? And that's the whole point. Joining me so we can be together. And together you can do things that you can't do alone, like be together. And it's essential when you're traveling, when you're exploring, because that way you'll never be lost. You're never lost if you've got a friend. And I'll be your friend. As long as you have a radio, you've got a friend. The radio is like a human mind. Now I'm going to say that again because I'm afraid that you heard me. The radio is like a human mind. Oh, ideas come through it like radio waves or radio shows, and they spew out of it. They come out of this radio mind, out of your radio receiver, which is like a skull or a head, and then its usefulness reaches its end and it dies, and you have a burial for that radio receiver, and you all go somewhere and dig a hole and put it in there, but you need some sort of license from the government because you can't just dispose of either a radio or a loved one's head without the proper paperwork. Oh, I don't have that here for you. Everything we do is sort of guerrilla. You mean like guerrilla, the kind of costumes that people put on in the 30s for comic effect? No, not that kind at all. What if they put on smaller costumes, like pretending to be a gibbon? Well, if you were a smaller statured actor, that might be appropriate. But here, oh, here we're going to put on a regular kind of radio show. Oh, my friend, I use the radio, which is like a human mind, to visit. I use it as a type of station wagon to drive over to your house to say things to you. I think all week long, oh, I've got this visit coming up with my friend. I can't wait. I have so much to tell them. And then the time comes and I can't remember what it is. And I thought, well, gosh, I've done so much. Then I realize I've done nothing. And what it is that I've forgotten to tell you about is nothing. And so I must make something up. Oh, isn't it wonderful to have an imagination? And then I can tell you through this radio, through this virtual mind, I can tell you what's on my mind, which is also a type of radio. Ooh, is there naught but radio? Possibly. Old butt radio. That's what we call it. There was the radio stations near the Florida coast. I remember they'd call Oyster Radio. And I'd say, well, that's interesting. But I do something more akin to butt radio, I think. And I like that. It's just basic. It just sounds basic and gritty, doesn't it? It's just basic. It's basic like a human buttocks. It's just right there doing every, does so much with so little. It's not complicated like your brain, the buttocks. It's just two wads of muscle, really. And if it was a cut of, if you're going to self-cannibalize, you go, ooh, give me that sweet ham. But what I want to do that physically, metaphysically, and imaginatively is be a radio friend for you who runs to you and says, I've got this information. Let's talk about it. Oh, my friend, I have so much to tell you. I hope that you've got some time. I've got nothing but time. It seems like there's nothing but radio. There's nothing but time. We are lousy with the infinite, aren't we? We have an infinite amount of so much. I guess it's just what we don't have an infinite amount of is time. I just said I did. Okay, I don't know. I guess even if you have an infinite amount of time, you can't cull through everything. So having an infinite amount of time and also an infinite amount of these, I guess they're demos from bands or something. I could go through them. Oh, my friends, I have a mission for you. Let's pretend this is Mission Impossible. So you're in, I wonder how many of you are listening on actual radios. If you are, pick up your microphone. It's probably not two-way, though, is it? It's probably just a receiver. But go ahead and say, I'm here, Hardy, checking in, like that, and I'll hear you. If it's online or something, oh, I guess there's no way I'll ever know. But listen to our radios right now, and we're going to imagine that life is a sort of mission, and I've got one for you. Well, not the whole life isn't a mission. That's complicated. I've got a specific task. Mission Impossible. You remember that show? So what you'd be doing is you'd say, you'd go to, I don't know, video rental place and say, I want Porky's 8. And I don't think there is one. And they give you a videotape and you go and you say, can I watch this in the adult viewing booth? And they go, okay, I guess so. And you go in there and you put it in and they say, hey, listener. But they'd say your actual name. What is it? What's your actual name? Aline, Alisa, Alina, Ali. I'm hearing a little bit. They say your name. They go, this mission, should you decide to accept it, which is a ridiculous caveat. I'm not going to have that in there. You're accepting the mission. It's imaginary. Come on. You're going to turn down an imaginary mission. I don't know. Just be game. Come on. Do something. Take some chances, especially ones that aren't real. All right. Take some phony chances. That can't be bad, right? We're going to do all this stuff we're going to be doing inside. Nobody's going to see. It's inside our heads. So we can do all sorts of stuff. You are liberated. You're not, you know, freedom is layered. And there's a, you know, the first level you want to get to is the internal one. Because that one, you can be, nobody will know what your progress is. So even if you're failing, they won't know. You go, oh, I'm totally free inside. They won't know that you're nothing but psychological prison guards in there. Stab, 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 beat up, beat up, beat up. Oh, I throw my urine on them, nothing happens. Listen, you're on a special mission right now. Should you decide to accept it? You're having trouble paying attention because you think smoke's going to come out of the VCR. You're right, it is, but just wait. I mean, it's not that bad. It's not noxious. The tape itself is made of, like, mung beans or something. It's not made of plastic. There's not going to be. I know you're nervous about that when it goes, psh, and the music starts. When the music starts, your mission starts. But I haven't told you yet. So we're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay. Listen. The world needs repairing. Oh, what the mission? This is a baloney mission. It's not a baloney mission. First, you have to go to Bologna, Mr. Smarty Pants. No, it's not. It's not that. But let's pretend it's a mission. Let's pretend the things that we're doing, anything that we do for good, even if it's a small thing like bringing Mrs. Johnson some canned goods, it's, but no can opener. Oh, it's like a Twilight Zone episode. Here's your canned goods, Mrs. Johnson. Goodbye. But you didn't leave a can opener. The fate of Mrs. Johnson is sad, a sad one. Thank God she had one of those rock hammers, the geology ones, with the pointy ones, and she just hacked open the cans, and it was messy, but she ate. So don't be upset that something happened to her. Your mission now, first of all, here's the thing with the mission. Just go say, before you accept the mission, I feel like you think, I'm going to tell you what the mission is, and you'll go, oh, no, I'm not up for it. But it in the training, you're going to learn so much that I don't want to even tell you what the mission is yet. I just want you to say, I accept, and let's begin the training. I accept, let's begin the training. Good call. Now, I'm not going to self-destruct the VHS right now because I love you, but I've got others that need to listen to it. There's so many that need a mission. So I'm just going to get it back from you. Normally you'd go, I know you were nervous about the smoke anyway. Hand it back to me. Thank you. Oh, bless you. But I'm going to save that and I'm going to play it again for somebody. They're going to get a kick out of it. So here's now the training begins. Are you ready? Yes, but I'm nothing special or I'm somebody special. Whatever you think right now, think differently. Because we're going to do some self-exploring. Because if you are going to get anything done, whether it's mop the floor or change the world, you need to do some self-exploration. You've got to know what's in your mind. You're never going to know completely everything that is in there, or more importantly, how it got there, or even more and more and more importantly, if it's true or not, or even more and more importantly, whether it's being beamed into your head from another planet. No, probably not. Throw that one out. Because even if it is, there's nothing you can do about it. So all those kind, we're going to... Here's the thing. We need to do some self-exploration. And I hate to tell you this, but it's already begun. It already began. It's already begun. It has begun. It will begin. It began. It began with the Beguine. I don't know if you heard the Beguine, but that's when it began. No, it began at the top, because when my voice started, we started on a journey of self-exploration. Oh, is it hypnosis? Are you hypnotizing? I would never do that. I would never hypnotize you. I would never, ever try to hypnotize you or put you in some sort of state of mind that was anything that was against your will. No, I would never do that. I would let you do it to yourself. Become so relaxed right now. Relax. No, don't relax. You're not becoming sleepy. Because I don't know what you're doing. You might be doing something. I'm on a steel beam. I'm working on the top of a skyscraper on my lunch break. Oh, Lord. No, don't relax. Do not relax. You are feeling slightly like kind of invigorated. That's it. You are feeling some good energy. You've been sort of tired lately, but right now you're feeling the energy. Yeah, I do. Don't you? Yes, I'm going to. You know what? I'm going to go to the ice machine. Are we in a hotel? Evidently. All right, it's at three floors away. I'm going to walk. Great. I'll jog there. That's fantastic. Got that energy. Yes, now that I have energy, I need to burn it off. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is that what we do with energy? Yes, I want to get a lot of energy so I can burn it off. Now, wait now. Now, it seems to me that's like saying, I got a lot of gasoline. Let's throw it on a bonfire. Yeah, I'm thinking I got a lot of gasoline. Let's use it for fuel for maybe a machine to possibly make something or do something.
What do you have in mind?
I don't know. But I do know this. I do know now that we have the energy, let's use it for something. Let's use it. We could just burn it off.
How'd we do that?
Just jump up and down and scream is a good way. But I think if I did that as a show, y'all would, I'd have you maybe a couple minutes, and then some of you I'd have for like 5 or 10 minutes. And then after 15 minutes, that would probably be, maybe Bryce would play it on his show as a separate piece. But then eventually, I'd lose everyone. And you'd say, no, I need something to grab hold of. It can't be, it's like going rock climbing. Hardy, and your show, if your show had nothing to grab hold of, it was just a smooth surface, I would just be jumping up and going, sliding down the, I can't make a squeaky sound, but it's like that. And so I need something. I need something in your side, some sort of diverticuli that put my hand in to get a handhold in there. What's in there? Oh, little pieces of peanuts. So it's irritating. Yes, those little holes in your rock face colon, but they need to be there or there's nothing really to get a hold of. I want to give you something to grab a hold of. What am I listening to? How am I going to tell anybody what I did? This show to me is a lot like a golf game, right? How am I supposed to describe what happened? I hit it a couple times. A couple times it was good. Other times it was frustrating. It went into the rough. Yes, I know. And generally you get at the end of it, you go, oh, I had a good time, but yet I still need a drink. It's exactly like golf. Oh, I'll tell you what, though. We got to explore. We're going to go inside ourselves now. Now I'm going to do it on myself. All right, it's a sort of self-hypnosis. It's a sort of self-exploring, okay? You got to go inside, and it's like going in a cave. Isn't that dangerous? Yes, it is. What if you get lost? I could get lost in there. Then somebody has to come look for you. Granted, but it's not like doing it underwater, like underwater spelunking, which you will die. And then if you're one of the experts that goes to find people, you also will die. Everybody dies who does it eventually. Do it twice, die nice, or something is the old rule with underwater cave driving. But this is the cave of my mind. And yes, it is a place that has a lot of twists and turns. And no, it is not laid out like an ordinary house or anything, because that's built with a design. My mind built itself and just kept making additions, kept adding on and adding on as things were needed. And so you can only access certain areas from far away, from other areas. You've got to go through multiple rooms to get there, or you got to fly outside of the house and get there from the sky. Oh, so let us go inside now. Go inside that mine.
Are we in? Do we need a light?
I don't know. I can't see anything yet. You have to learn to see and hear. So let me say, okay, so you're getting not sleepy, we decided. Yes. But you're walking in a cave. All right. You're walking in a cave of your mind. Now you've gone in. Now the entrance, turn around. The entrance is getting smaller. That little circle of light, that's where you came in. But you're moving away from it now and going in deeper, deeper into the recesses of your... Watch it, watch it. Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Oh my gosh, you hit that thing so hard. What is that, a stalactite? Holy Moses. I had you turning around looking at the cave open and you slammed right into that. Well, that's all right. We're going to get a lot of that because when you're in your mind like that, there's... And some of it is dark, and you're going to slam right into stuff. That's okay. You can take it. You can take it. Whoa, just put your head, if it's bleeding a little bit, put your head back, and that way you'll drown in your own nose blood. Now, maybe it's forward. I don't know which it is. Cup your hands. Get some of it. Save it up. You might need it for later. That's it. Put it in your, put that blood in your canteen, and maybe you could use it later if you get sick or something. Oh, I have some of my old blood. It's old. Okay. Oh, it's just a big brown clump, like old used up tempera paint. Now, moving on. We're going deeper in the cave. What's in here? Okay, I want to take you back now. All right, where are you taking me back? I don't know if I should go with strangers. I'm not a stranger. I'm you, Hardy White. All right. That's also sort of creepy.
What?
Am I a younger version of myself or something? I don't want to go somewhere with an older version of me. Off. No, you're the same age version of yourself. What's wrong with you? Just come with me. I am speaking to myself. And you're being weird and difficult. Are you really so afraid of me, who is you, that you wouldn't come with me inside your own mind?
Yes, that's it. That's a very good summation right there. That's, no one's ever quite put it that succinctly. Yes, I am afraid to go with myself into my own mind.
All right. Are you afraid what you'll find?
Well, I'm afraid of what just happened, bumping into things that I don't know are there.
All right.
And then having to deal with them. What if it's like a corpse?
There's corpses in your mind? Could be. Well, let's just... I mean, that'll be... Remember when in Romancing the Stone, they're going through the jungle and they find an airplane that has a dead hippie hanging out of it?
Yeah.
And it's like a skeleton hippie.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool, right? Maybe that's in there.
All right.
It's so not every time that you bump into a desiccated memory corpse is it a bad thing.
All right, I hear you.
So, come with me.
Do you need me to respond? Because if we're the same person...
I do and I don't, right? You're doing a little funny... You're doing a bit of a funny voice, though, I see.
Well, the reason I am is so it's...
Otherwise, it would be indistinguishable from yours. Oh, I see what you're saying. See? Now people don't know. Okay. Now, I know that when you typed this up, you did my dialogue is in red ink. It is. That's what I got that from Faulkner. Did you or from the Bible? All right. No, so it is just me speaking to myself, but I have to do it. And I do it in a slightly funny voice like that so I can distinguish these sides of myself, or it does sound the same. I've tried to do that, have dialogue on the radio with characters who all have the same voice, and apparently it's confusing. Well, it's confusing to me. I can't imagine what it's like for you. And I never want to be purposely confusing. I never am. I love to be mysterious. You think, you stole this from David Lynch. I did in a way. Well, I stole the way of articulating it from him. You know, don't be... purposely confusing. That's jerky. But if you want to be mysterious, that's good. Mystery opens our eyes, makes us pay attention. We start seeing clues everywhere, conspiracies everywhere. No, we don't want to see that. But you're always digging and always looking if you're exploring a mystery. And the mystery of your own mind, the mystery of your own mind, that's the ultimate mystery. Oh, that's a page turner. It's a page turner to the very end. And the very end, you die on the last page. And then, ironically, there's a blank page called notes. So if there's no afterlife, how do you explain that? And then sometimes there's pages after that, like other books that the publisher does that you might, if you like this one, if you like this life, you should reincarnate as one of these fantastic mysteries over here. We like them. Whatever you're into, we have a mystery for you. Whatever genre, it can be put over all Doctor Who, Star Trek, they all know that. You can take a conventional, like, murder mystery and stick it in any kind of literary genre, you want. Isn't that interesting?
Is it?
Things are interesting to me. Anything can be made interesting by close examination. It really can, you know, and its relation. Juxtapose it with something that seems alien to it, and you will find that it opens up a whole new world. Take any key, and put it next to something that looks like a lock, and you've got a poem, my sibling. You have a poem. We go into the mind now, and what do I see?
You are a young person.
I'm a very young person. What am I doing?
You're watching television. You watched a lot of television.
I did. I watched a lot of television. And I tell you what, I felt a lot of love when I was a young person. And sometimes I feel nostalgia for all the things that I saw and ate and did when I was little because I associated with being taken care of and loved. But I'm telling you, there is nothing loving. There is nothing good. There is nothing nourishing about Pink Panther cereal, which was a cereal that was coated with, like, Strawberry Quick. And it was Pink Panther, and I thought, I love Pink Panther, and it made me eat it, and it's all sugar and everything, and I love it, and I'm nostalgic for it, but it's poison, I tell you, and yet, I still love it. I love the poison given to me in my youth. I feel affection for it, because it is the world on which my memories are built, and the love is attached to it, but I'm telling you, the love was there in spite of King Vitamin cereal, in spite of Quisp cereal. It was there in spite of all those things, not because of them. It was not related to them. But you are now back there, and you are young. And what are you doing? I'm watching TV. And what are you watching on the TV? I'm watching the Three Stooges. And which Three Stooges are you watching? I mean, which one? What do you mean, like, literally, which is it? Yeah, which two reeler is it? I don't know, All Gummed Up. Really? You know the title? No, I don't know. I'm just guessing, man. But that's one of them. It is one of them. They all have, I think the names maybe are interchangeable. But yes, oh gosh, things are getting so gummed up. I saw an ad just the other day for a modern sitcom, and it said something like, when you have kids, crazy, unexpected things happen. And that was the whole premise of the sitcom, was like, people have children. Oh, it's nuts. They do nutty things, like forget to give them their food or something. And it was like that. And I thought, oh my goodness, that seems rather, done to death. Done to death. That's what it was called. It was called the Quit Gumming Up, Done to Death, Nuts to Noggins. All right, so now which kind of Three Stooges is it? Oh, Shimpera. Shimpera. What does that mean? Well, there's the first ones from the 30s and all with Curly. That's the Curly era. Yeah. And then Curly died and they got back their brother, Samuel Horowitz, Howard, Shemp. So that, we call that the Shimpera. Oh, you run it all together. Shemp, I know what you're saying, Shimpera. Yes. All right. I wish I had a band name that or something. And then the Joe Besser era. We don't really say that. That's an abomination. Okay. And then etc. Whatever. We just say post-Shemp and all, and we don't acknowledge that there was Joe DiRita and Joe Besser. Okay. The Joes. Oh, my gosh. Any Joe, right? But you can't be just any Joe. It's the Third Stooge is an important thing. It can't just be anybody. It can't be a cardboard cutout. All right, are you done? I am. So I don't know if I'm self-hypnotizing, but am I back there? I'm back there watching it. I'm watching the Three Stooges, and they're doing something crazy. Look at, they're trying to be normal, and they're messing up, and now I want you to ask a question of yourself. Self, yes. Do you identify with the Three Stooges? No, not at all. What are you saying? Do you identify with them? No, no. In fact, I feel sort of empowered because I think, well, I'm not them. You know, they're adults, and yet they're absolute idiots and fools. I'm a kid, and I would never do that, which means I'm smarter than some adults who seem to be actually getting by in the world. So if they can get by in the world and actually get a job and get hired, being that stupid and self-destructive and masochistic or whatever they are, then I, as a child watching them, I'm probably a little more together than I think I am. Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I don't identify with them, but I recognize that, but I will say this. I've been that stupid on occasion.
Yeah, me too.
We've all been Shemp at some point, I'm sure. I remember saying in real life, say, Shemp in real life, he wet himself one time or something. Oh, yeah, okay. Gosh, I've never done that. So it's just human beings. Like, you know, we all do that at some point. I'm hypnotizing you. Okay. You are back in a house from your youth. Is it youth house? It's not youth house. It's a regular house. All right. What is youth house? I don't know, man. For kids who don't have any. Were you in something like that? No, I don't know why I said it. Go on, just go on. All right, it's a house of your youth. Oh, I see where you got it. Yeah, okay, go on. You're in a house of your youth. And you're, what are you doing? I'm watching TV. Good gosh. How much TV did you watch as a young person? I'm a lot, I'm sorry. I know I'm embarrassed by it. It's been a lot to, I'm not asking for sympathy, but it's been a lot to undo. You know, because it was a very different upbringing than previous generations. I may be among the first that was parked there as a baby. So I don't know. You know, it's just I've watched this thing, and here's the thing: there used to not. It isn't like the internet. There used to not be a lot on it. You know, so your world could be very small, and I did believe that. The Three Stooges were a bigger part of the adult world than they actually were because they were disproportionately being represented. They were getting a lot of airtime. And I thought, well, they must be wildly influential if they're on this television that much. I mean, like Bob Newhart kind of influential or Walter Cronkite or who else was on the TV a lot. The fellow who hosted the horror movies. Who else was on? Alan Alda. Saw him every Merv, I don't know, and so they were the masters of in my memory. They were in there doing stuff the way other kids would say. I guess a generation before that, they'd say, "Yeah, I'd watch the ducks on the pond, or we'd go in the woods, and I'd see old, Randy Raccoon in his little hole, and we'd go around and skip rocks and." And I would thought, I would watch Hair Bear Butch. And I guess that made me not very smart or something or not. I wasn't very much in touch with the world. I was being given a culture that was not based on anything. It was based on just buying foods, nasty foods that came in boxes. That's the whole thing. It was like a religion. That's the religion I grew up in. So all those things became my values and all. Oh, they stuck hard. What else is in there? Oh, I'm not saying Mr. Rogers. Oh, you see him? Now what are you thinking? Do you identify with Mr. Rogers? No. I mean, he looks like a white uncle's or something, but no. Not really. Why? Well, because he seems more together than I would ever be. I'm not that. I feel, even as an adult, I feel like he's more adult than me, and I'm probably his age. From most of the things I've seen and everything, that's probably the age I see him at is probably the age I am now. And yet he feels a lot more in touch with the wisdom of the ages and his own emotions than I ever shall be. So what are you saying? So what do you mean, what am I saying? Who is this? Are you the Three Stooges? Or are you Mr. Rogers? Well, I'm not. I'm neither one. Is there a Shemp spectrum? What do you mean? Is there a spectrum from Shemp to Mr. Rogers on which all we as humans dance around? Perhaps. Yes, during the course of the day, could you say that you go from being an idiot to being wise, back again, and then maybe hover a little bit in the middle? I do. I hover quite a bit in the middle. I vacillate between wisdom and idiocy, and it's sometimes they're imperceivable. They're micro-vacillations. They're frequency modulations, aren't they? Oh, all those things broadcast through me. If I'm a radio... Then I contain that station way at the end of the dial where you get the beginning of the TV dial. What is that, 88 or something? Yes, way down there at the end with all the hippie stations, all the community stations. Past them, to the left of them, is the beginning of TV. Is like Channel 6 television. And there I am as well, being the Three Stooges and Mr. Rogers simultaneously. Mr. Shemp's neighborhood. Mr. Rogers Shempera. Roger Shempera, that's my new alias. If you ever see me out, I say, excuse me, are you Hardy White? And I go, no, sir, I'm actually Roger Shempera. Oh, yes, well, a lot of people make that mistake, sir, to have you. I don't have my beard currently. For various reasons, I took my beard off. One is if you have something people start to identify you with. There came a point after I'd been on the radio for years and people had started seeing me and say, oh, he has that big white beard. And I did. I had it for a lot of my adult life. And it was white way before you'd think it should be. People would start saying hello to other just guys with white beards they see around the world. And I thought, wow, I'm just my beard now. And I don't know. I think maybe I'd rather have a face that nobody ever recognizes than just be a body. So, I don't know exactly what Hardy looks like, but his ears are large or something like that. And I know that's a lot of people recognize you. So you say, oh, I know this person because they're of a caricature thing, right? It's like those old Warner Brothers cartoons. You go, oh, I know from right there that's supposed to be Joe Penner. How do you know it's Joe Penner? I know the profile. You all, are you looking up Joe Penner at all? Any of you? Longtime listeners of the show be like, what is your obsession? I have none. I don't know. I just like to, you know, when you go to remember something and you think it's going to be something everybody remembers, but then it's idiosyncratic. And perhaps the memory looms larger in your heads than that of your peers or any other humans. That happens a lot of times. Say, so I feel like such an odd person, Hardy. People say this to me all the time. Say, I feel like an oddball. And I know that. I see online, too. It's an anxiety of people. I mean, they kind of accept it. And they go, I just feel I say crazy things. People look at me funny. Oh, you're not alone. You know, that's more of a product of being self-aware than it is anything else. And the reason that not everybody feels like is this lack of self-awareness, not their lack of being an oddball. We're all oddballs. And if if you recognize it or think, oh gosh, I feel like I'm not clicking with other people. Oh gosh, that's the universal feeling. Now there's some people that fake it. You know, there are those who can charm others and everything. I don't know how much of that is real and how much of that is superficial. So don't worry about that. You know, people at their core really are kind of wacky and unpredictable and all over the place, and they say smart things and stupid things, and at any given time, and they change for the worse, they change for the better, but they're always like something will happen and they change. It's really great, and just watch it and look for it in yourself, and always be exploring. Why go in the caves if you've already explored them? Anybody who has ever been in charge of a complicated cage system knows the answer to that. If I were to go and patrol the caves, the tunnels of my underground kingdom here, if I was going at once and say, all right, all the tunnels are clear, that would be foolish because something could have gone in them as I was looking at them. They need to be constantly monitored, constantly explored, ever vigilant. But vigilance doesn't need to be make you nervous or anything. You can have fun watching and waiting. Oh, you can have fun being a detective. You can have fun being on the Mission Impossible team, preparing for this mission, preparing for this virtually impossible mission of living your life and trying to navigate this world, while at the same time being Shemp and Mr. Rogers. Some days you nail it, some days you feel, I have to be the stupidest person on earth. Am I also the worst looking? How, imagine being the actual Shemp Howard and have people go, oh, the ugliest man in Hollywood. I'd not ever look at that actor's face and think his face is ugly. I can't. It's just, I'm sure I could if I allowed myself. But I
try to see beauty. I feel as if ugliness has its own advocates, and it's always being, you're always being told about it. I feel like beauty is something that sometimes has to be explained, and people have to be convinced of it somehow. Explain to me the beauty of that thing. I've seen that with art and everything. What is that? It looks like a mess. Give me a minute. Spend a minute with me, and I believe that I can explain the beauty to you because it's there. And the problem is not that thing. The problem is you. I'm not saying you have a problem. I'm just saying that, you know, beauty requires something akin to looking at the 3D eye puzzle thing. We have to cross your eyes to see the sailboat. Otherwise, it just looks like a Lily Pulitzer handbag. Do you know what I'm talking about? So you look, it's just like a eye jumble 3D thing, and you look at it and you say, oh, that's just random. It's a Jackson Pollock painting or something. I like my Lily Pulitzer handbag, though, example, though, is that. And then you look at it, and if you cross your eyes slightly, just slightly, you got to get it just right, something pops out, and you see it's in 3D. That's beauty. You can train yourself to look at things and say, oh my gosh, where once I saw something in the natural world that might have been repulsive to me, like, you know, like a slug, or like, I don't know, like a sea slug, sea cucumber making love or something. But then there are ways to open your eyes to see more. And one of the things you get with that extra color is beauty. Imagine having a TV set that's black and white, and then having a TV set that's color, and then having a TV set that shows beauty, where before you saw none. Oh, if you start to see that, you're going to be very valuable for our team, our Mission Impossible team. I have all the magazines laid out. I have all your pictures here laid out. They're not important. Some of them are not literal pictures of you, because that doesn't really tell the whole story. So some of them could just be, it could just be a nice scene. Go, what is that? Oh, that's a sunrise on St. Mark's or something. Is that a salt marsh? It's a sun marsh, salt marsh at sunrise. Who's that? Oh, that's a picture of Katie, because that's her favorite thing to see. So that's maybe, that's more who she is than a face. So I put that down. I know I'm going to maybe pick Katie for that mission. And then I've got all this time. We all have the missions, and we're going to train, and we're going to go in our cave, and everything. Maybe we'll tie each other together. That's what they do when they climb mountains. When they climb mountains, they tether one mountain climber to the next. They latch each other together, and that way, if one of them falls in a crevasse, then they are already tied to the others who are safe on the edge, and they can pull that person right back up again. Oh, if we keep those ties strong, there is no falling through the cracks. You can't fall through the cracks if you're tied to your neighbor. I'm tying myself to you. I'm tying myself to my neighbor. I'm putting this rope on you, right around your waist. You put it on someone else's waist. That way, if one of us falls, and one of us will fall, oh, none of us are immune to the great holes that open up in the snow on which we walk. None of us are immune to that. You are a fool if you think you can go it alone. How are you going to do that should the earth open up under you? Even if we wanted to save you, we couldn't. You have given us no recourse. Please, allow us to help you, oh sibling. Allow us to save your life. Tie yours to ours. Make them all a web so that we are all strong and we all hang here in a beautiful net above the crevices that go who knows how deep down to the depths of hell, those deep wells. I'm gonna save you, friend. You're gonna save me. And we're all gonna lift up together that way. Oh, what a fine mission it is. And the only training it requires is you just got to take a couple trips in there to the cave system underneath your mind palace. Because what's under there is the foundation upon which that palace. See, that's where the Three Stooges got me, because I was going to try and say palace, and I said malice, and malice in the palace is definitely a Three Stooges. And I think it even has one of those little maps that has Schmoland on it,
which might not be super duper sensitive. You got to understand that. I don't know if there's any, I'm sure there's things that are horrid in it. That's why I don't, because I understand that my worldview must be constantly shattered. I don't idolize, I don't put on pedestals, because anything you put on a pedestal is going to fall off. So, you know, and most things are breakable. So don't put anything up there. Put it on ground level. And the worst that's going to happen is it's just going to roll over. But at least it won't be, you know, shattered. Don't rise, no, but lift everything up. Everything is already lifted up. Every human is already elevated. Everybody is already beautiful and exalted. There's no need to make heroes out of people. That we do heroic things. That's what a hero is momentary. It's like a pooper. You know, we poop, we eat. We're not an eater. We're not a pooper. We're all those things at one time or another. You don't get stuck on one thing. You know, I would love a medal for every time I poop, though. That'd be one. They'd have to be awfully small. And then I'd still have so many of them. I don't know what to do with them. But, yeah, I don't want to be defined by anything. Do I? Yes. Yes, I do. Some things I want you to think I am. I want to have some kind of labels. I know that from my... I went through this period of saying, I'm going to take all the labels off. I'm going to take all the labels off myself. And I took them off and I said, what is this? And it said, it's glue. And I go, well, how do I get the glue off? And they can't get the glue off. Said, well, that looks worse than when I had a label on. And they go, yep, see? The glue, you can't get the glue off, so you might as well just leave the label on. Maybe just modify the label or something. Okay. What do you mean by that, Hardy? I don't mean anything. I was actually literally just thinking about labels, like on a bottle or something. I wasn't really thinking about it in terms of like, you know, I'm an American, I'm a Methodist. I wasn't thinking about it like that. But I guess that those are labels too, aren't they? Well, how do I define myself? I would say I don't. I know I'm asked, and then I make something up on the spot, I suppose. And I realize now that what it is I'm just trying to guess what a person wants to hear. And even if that's not the case, I'm trying to say what I want them to think. So it's never objective in any way. It can't be, can it? Been there forever, and he doesn't know everybody's dead, and he's not dead. And? Well, somebody else has been here. Someone's gotten in. They live here. Well, could be an animal. Still, you want an animal running around your mind? Well, it's like any kind of attic or something. Something's going to get in. You can't just have spaces there and expect that human beings are not going to, or some sort of animal isn't going to crawl into the space. What are you saying? I'm saying that your mind is like a vacation house in Blairsville, Georgia, and it's sitting there in the mountains, and if there's nobody in it, there's going to be something in it. There's going to be wasps in it, or there's going to be rodents in it, or there's going to be deer or bear or something, because there's no house that's going to sit there unoccupied. Something will move in. If you aren't exploring and living in your mind, if there's parts of your mind that you aren't in, someone will be in there. They are good living spaces, I'm telling you. And there are squatters in there. There's squatters in your brain. You have a radio receiver, and you got stuff coming in there from all sorts of frequencies. You aren't tuning in the dial to one specific one, then you're getting them all jumbled up, and they're all making their mark, and they're all registering their ownership of it. They're all living in there. I have a recurring dream in which I inherit a house, and I'm exploring this house, and I say there's more rooms than I need, and I go up to the top floor, and I open a door, and there's a room in the back of a room, and somebody else is living there, some other family, and they say, excuse me, this is our house. And I say, okay, and I realize there's other people already living there in a portion of the house, that I don't own this place, or maybe it's I who don't belong there. Am I supposed to kick them out? How'd they even get there? What is this place? There's others in my mind. They're doing stuff. They have their own secrets. They're not communicating with me, but they're living their lives, and they're squatting there. And I don't know when they got in. They probably got in around the time that I was eating Pink Panther cornflakes. Probably got around the time I was watching all gummed up. They probably got in around the time I was watching Merv, or I was watching Mr. Rogers, or I was watching Mr. Rogers on Merv. I don't think that happened. Did Merv ever go on Mr. Rogers? No. Whose feet did Mr. Rogers not wash? Most people, really. So, I don't know. That would have been nice. Would that be too much to ask the man if you met him? Could you wash my foot? I know that's creepy. So, no. I'd ask to wash yours, but I think that's even creepier. So, I mean, let's just, I'll tell you what, how about an autograph? No, not an autograph. What do I need your stupid signature for? I just wanted to thank you for everything you've done. Oh, no, blah, blah, blah. You never be able to speak to the man. Oh, same with Shemp. What would you say to Shemp? Oh, I just love your work, blah, 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 blah. I don't think you're ugly. I got nothing to say to either one. Oh, my gosh. You know why? Because they aren't human beings. There's something in my mind. They represent something. They are aspects of myself. They are caricatures, and you are one. No doubt that you are one. A character in a play, in your friends, in your mother's, in your spouse's head, in your sibling's head. You are a character as well, maybe to somebody at work, somebody who knows you only slightly. You are a character. Maybe you live in their cave. You didn't even know you were living there. And you never see yourself that lives there. That used to happen to me too. Hardy White, I had a dream about you and you were rude. Someone said that to me one time, and I said, you know, I was not there, actually. So, I mean, I don't mean to be rude to you a second time, but that's just so foolish. Because that's something that your version of me, I don't know why you're doing that, but you're using me to hurt you. And that, you know, please don't do that. If you do that, change its name, because it's not me. I'm over here not hurting you in real life. Oh, I can't believe that they haven't stopped us, that we have access to this crazy machine, this mind changer, this exploration device that flies through the air, through the ether, between our ears and changes our minds, scrambles them in a way, rearranges things. Makes new stories out of old characters. Get rid of some things. Brings in other things. Oh, I don't want to tidy it up. I'm not that lady on the TV who says, oh, your sock drawer can be better and tidier. Oh, you know what? I took her advice on my T-shirt drawer. And now I got my T-shirts folded so efficiently. They are in there so tightly. I cannot get the thing open. Because now I've got like 500 T-shirts in there. All folded like they were heroin packets or something. It's insane. I was better when it's just like a couple of them wadded up. No, that's not true at all. No, thank you very much. I could finally get my drawer open. I'm not complaining like that. That is a parody of people who resent things that work. I don't know why that is, but I do recognize that somewhat. Say, oh, everybody is happy with something. I will come poo on it. Because I notice that people's happiness is detracting from their focus on me. So let's say they all like that kind of ice cream. I'm going to, while they're all enjoying the ice cream and feeling joy and not focusing any attention to me, I will go up and poo on the ice cream, and they'll be back to like, Hardy, blah, and they'll be saying my name again. Ah, I don't want that. I don't want that. I want you to enjoy your ice cream over there. I want you to forget about me. I want to instigate something that I eventually have nothing to do with or I'm not associated with. I want to confuse you out of remembering that I ever started anything. I want to give you a gift that you love and cherish for the rest of your life. But in a couple years, you look back and try to figure out where you got that gift, and you cannot. You cannot remember. It feels as if you've always had it, and you have an urge to pass it on. But you will never remember that you got it from me. Who are you? I don't know. You don't remember either. This is the only way to do it, I'm telling you. The only way to do it like this is like spies. The only way to change hearts is by jumping in people's mouths in a tiny submarine and sailing up into their brain, going into the deepest recesses of their minds, putting things there, crawling through tunnels like John Wick 3. I have this idea that every John Wick, it's the first John Wick is the grandfather. And that's actually John Wick the third in the last one.
Is that right?
It does say three. There's going to be a fourth one? Okay. I'm done. But not with the show. I'm not done with the show. I am and I'm not. I'm almost done with one show, but I'm not done with the show in general. I might be done with one day, but I am not done with my days. Do you understand? This is the end of my day, not the end of my days. This is the end of one thing I'm saying, but I'm not done with saying things. I'm not done with being your friend. A lot of times I think maybe I'm the only person saying certain things between 7 and 8. I hear them, people saying them constantly in other places, but maybe just between these hours in this area, maybe I'm the only one. That's like my shift. It is my shift to pass on the urgency of self-exploration, of love of yourself and love of others. I can't do that. I can't do the loving myself part, Hardy. And that's a stumbling block for a lot of people. And I found that was one of the easiest steps for me because I craved it so much. I was like, man, I really want to stop hating myself. And then a little voice said to me, you're the one doing it. And I went, oh, okay. He goes, well, it's not that easy, right? And I go, isn't it? And I go, I don't know. I go, well, why don't you just, you know, every journey starts with like a single step. I heard that in my head. I said, well, let me be the single step will be at least let me tell myself my goal is to end any self-loathing and to love and respect myself. I will make that my goal. That way I won't feel like I've done something sinful by accepting myself or loving myself without a struggle. So can I at least decide that I'm going to try to get there? And then I said, well, that seems reasonable. That way I can continue to wallow in my failure and if at the same time say, hey, I'm going to get to a point where I have some affection for myself. And then, I would also tell myself things like, do you want to love others? And go, yes, I want to love and accept others. All right. Would you treat them the way you're treating yourself? That happened to me a lot of times. I would say, no, I would never do that to them. I would do that to myself, but I would never do that to them. And then I saw ways that I was hurting others by hurting myself. And that blew my mind. I go, I thought that was just hurting me. I go, no, it's too interconnected. You're screwing up. You're thinking, oh, only I am bothered by this noise in the apartment. And you go, listen, you share some walls with other apartments. You know, it's also other problems. So, you know, I had to agree with that. I had to think, yes, I could see how I even have implicated others in hurting me. You say, well, what hurts worse than having someone you love hurt you? So you can manipulate them to hurt, to contributing to that, to being an accomplice in your self-loathing. But I had to stop. I had to stop because I just, I was like, man, I can't, if I won't do this to somebody else, why would I do it to myself? I started to remember little me and I thought, you know what? I do remember a time when I felt innocent. I do remember, I would never do that. I see little pictures of myself. I say, I'd never hurt that little child. Doesn't feel like me, but I'd never hurt that little child. Say, that one don't. That one don't. You know, it's okay to advocate for that. And, you know, you also learn that if you want to be helpful, then you got to put that oxygen mask on yourself first before you can put it on others. You've got to. You got to stay alive before you can help other people stay alive, you know? And you've got to, you know, I know you wanna stay behind and you want to put the bomb on Godzilla yourself because the bomb delivery system isn't working. So, but I mean, and your family's going, no, no, don't sacrifice yourself like that. You know, think of others. Like, always, you know, they have a vote. People who love you always have a vote, I think. And because if we've accepted that we're going to tie ourselves together, like I said, then, you know, we have to pay attention to one another's hearts and our own heart, more importantly, because you don't want them tied to something bad. You don't want to light yourself on fire and then those tethers become wicks. You don't want that. Oh, my friends, you realize that if we are tied together like that, and I can raise myself up, maybe I can raise you up too. Maybe we'll all fly up to the heavens together in a lightness and a joy. We can bring you up. Oh, I try to do that when we get together. I say I'm going to take you somewhere like you're listening. You are listening, and you are used to listening to people speaking to you, telling you things. And you try to follow them, and you're trying to follow me. I'm trying to follow you. That's an expression we use. Tell me more about the plan. I follow you. Because it is like that, taking someone down a path. And yes, I take you down what they call a garden path, which is a path that has no end. It has no point. It has no destination. There's a path for its own sake. It is a walk. It is a walk in a labyrinth. We are taking a walk together in a maze. And we're going to come out just about where we went in. And you're going to say, did we get anywhere even? Did we get anywhere? Because when I'm walking on a straight road, I leave at one point and I get to the next and I've arrived somewhere. If you do that on a river, you drive to the one point, you put your boat in, you take the boat down the river, your little canoe trip, and you take the boat out the other end, and then, boy, you better have a car there too. But if you walk into a labyrinth with me and we lose ourselves together on purpose, lose ourselves together, that's what's important, tied to one another so that we're never really lost, because lost is not being together. If we're together, it doesn't matter what road we're walking on. There is no destination but each other's hearts. And so we're together walking in the maze. And when we leave, we're going to leave right where we went in, and we're going to be able to find our cars again. And we're going to have had an experience, and we're going to have had some joy. And we might not have a linear story that we are able to convey to someone. What happened? What did you and Hardy talk about when you were in there on that journey? And you will say, without fear of contradiction, I honestly can't remember, but I think I liked it. I think I liked it. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you again next week, my awesome friend. Jesus and his love.
The cicadas are out, finally, in July, in Montgomery, Alabama. We welcome that. We also welcome the BC Harmonizers, a song officially titled Baptism Rap. Here on Sinner's Crossroads, WFMU. Yes, indeed. That's on the Fine record label out of Rochester, New York, I do believe. Mighty Heavenly Five. Time is winding up, and this day and time, we'll make an exception and say it doesn't have to be. Be careful.